The Father, we thank you for your grace that you are here, that you are with us. I believe it, Lord. I believe that you are you fulfilling your promise that where two or three gathered in my name, I will be there. I will be in the midst. Lord, I thank you that we're gathering to glorify your name and to worship your name and to put your name high, Lord Jesus. And your name, as your word said, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and be safe. Lord, I pray, Lord, everyone comes to this meeting, that they will run into your name to be to hide and to take refuge into your name, Lord. We call your name, Jesus. You are El Shaddai. You are Yahweh. Yahweh Yarah. Yeah, you are. You are. Enta kunta Rabbu El Kain wa El Abad. You was. You are. You are, and you will be forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it's a new chapter, chapter 3. So I will ask, we will start with reading verse 1, and then we will continue our discussion. So who has the courage to read chapter 3, verse 1? Okay.
Does it matter which does it matter which translation?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, I forgot that I'm on. I was actually reading, but I forgot that I was on mute.
I can mute myself. Go ahead, Asam.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's better if you read.
Verse one says, how many verses? The first three verses or the first?
Only one.
One. Okay.
Yes.
Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hananel.
Okay. I think as we were preparing, we really felt like this verse by itself has a lot to take out. Pastor Al, I think, send us... a study. When I read it, it started like this, that God hides things for us to find. Because if you read the verse, it would be like information. The high priest, his name is Eliashib, and he and the fellow priests went and rebuilt the sheep. It's information. But if you dig deep, you will find truth. You will find actually treasures. You know, treasures, you don't put it like in a surface, like treasures, you hide it, right? And this is, I believe, verse 1 in chapter 3 is one of the verses that has a lot of treasures. When you dig deep in the Word of God, you will find something to encourage you, to lift you up, and to open your eyes how great is our God is, you know? So let's dig deep, and let's pray that we will dig deep, not only here, but in our personal relationship with the Word of God. So Eliashib started to build. And I have a question. We're going to start this verse or the chapter with this question. We're going to start in chapter 3. We're going to start studying the real process of rebuilding the wall and the gates of Jerusalem. And the main idea, Dina, get ready to explain to us. Eliashib. What did you find in Eliashib?
So the name Eliashib means God will restore. And
okay.
as we look at the word restoration, I mean, there's several sort of specific definitions, but one that we, I think, can really hang our hat on for the next hour is that to restore means to put back in proper order. So something was no longer in proper order, and this is God is saying that the work of restoration means to put back in proper order.
Amen. So amen. When you study about Eliashib, as Dina mentioned, Eliashib means God will restore. But I think that there is some translation, it says Eliashib arose, right? And start to build, which is, again, the arising of Eliashib. When you study about Eliashib, you find that he is not like very godly man. So where he came out with this power to arise and build, actually, it's one of the treasures that I feel like it's hidden here is that it's not the Eliashib, it's not the high priest that he is arising to rebuild. I feel like it's the treasure here is saying that God will restore. God will restore is gonna arise. So the restoration of God is beginning. Okay? So my question is, where in the Bible, where do you find in the Bible that God restored things? Where do you find in the Bible that God restored people even? Assam, عندك حاجة عايز تقولها?
No, I was just going to say things or people.
Yes, yes. So, do you need example or you're ready?
Unmute yourselves. Come on. Let's hear it.
Who? Yeah. Oh, okay. You're talking to...
Not you.
And Michael, by the way, this is just me. And we lift the label here.
Just for you.
It's a good business idea. I like it. So, Phil, can you repeat the question again?
The question is, we see here in chapter 3 that God restoration of the wall and the gates started, the actual rebuilding, okay? And the question is, where in the Bible you find God restored things or people? Examples.
There's a famous passage in Joel chapter 2. Where God says, I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has stolen. Yeah. I didn't look at your notes, by the way. I have not cheated, so I'm not looking at your notes.
No, yeah. So according to the definition of restoration is putting back everything into the original order, right? Uh-huh. So the original order for God not to have the locust and no rain, and this is not the original order. The original design. The original design is God wants to bless his people, but because of sin, they went to the other route. And now God is saying, I will restore. I will put back the original design to your life, which is I'll give you the latter and the matar mubakkar wa mutaakhir,
yani. The former rain.
Yes. And so on and so on, and heal the land and so on. Okay, what else?
This is a preview for Sunday, Peter.
Okay, tell us about Peter restoration. No, you have to tell us.
No, then I'm gonna steal Pastor L's notes for Sunday. Sorry. Peter was restored after rejecting him, and he restored him back to being a fisher of men.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Pastor Mark is looking at our notes.
Yes. What else or who else God restored? Come on. Okay, what about the earth when it was shapeless, formless, fashionless? and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering above the water, over the water, and God started to speak his word, and his word created heaven and earth, sea, water, and trees, animals, and then man. And it was turned from fashionless, from formless land into garden. This is restoration. What else? Assam.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyone else?
Can we talk about maybe how just the miracles of restoring sight to those who are blind, or the deaf, or any of the diseases that were cured, restoring them to the original prior to the disease?
Yes. It was God restoring the sight and the health and the physical, problems into the original design.
How about Job? Someone like Job who lost everything. Everything, very much. And God restored everything back to him. And he really didn't do anything wrong. He just lost everything. How about someone like David, who did something wrong and, lost his salvation and lost the kingdom for a while. He lost a lot. How about God restoring him when he repented? How about Lazarus, after not just dying, being dead and
was rotten.
Yeah. So someone like that, completely. Oh, I think Soraya was going to say that, and then she shied away.
I was about the bones in Ezekiel.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's
restoration. That will take a lot of skills, because these dry bones that were completely, people dead long, long time ago, and God restored them into an army. So we see so many examples in the Bible where, people even made mistakes and they kind of messed up their lives, but God still in his mercy restored them. Or people, things happened, or people that Satan attacked them, or people that God used for his glory, but then, through testing, but then he still restored them. I believe that Isaac was restored back to Abraham. I believe as we were sharing earlier, Sarah, life was given back to her, that ability to give life. All of these things are restoration. God is always in the business of restoring. As Philip just said, that Eliashib, really not the greatest of a high priest. I wouldn't attend his church. But you know what? God looked at him and was like, why not? I can work on him just like I work on a member like me. He can work on the high priest as well. Or he can work on.
Wow.
So why not? Why not restoring Eliashib? Why not having him, to participate in the work? A lot of times we put the high priest, not the high priest, like the pastors or the servants or all these people in a place where you cannot make a mistake. We're all allowed to sin. We're all allowed to make mistakes, but you're not allowed to make a mistake. Why not? We're all humans. We're all, we're all here living on earth. We're all struggling, but God restored him, and God can restore anyone and would like to restore everyone. And there are so many examples in the Bible that we can truly go for hours and hours. Just like what Michael said, how about the people that Jesus healed and all of these? There's so many people and so many things that God restored. The idea is that we want to deliver in the beginning that God wants to restore.
Yes.
He is looking to restore.
Can I say something?
Of course.
God reminded me of something I think the Holy Spirit just brought to my mind. 10 years ago, I love furniture. Sort of my the thing. I just love it. I'd rather buy a piece of furniture over, I don't know, a really pricey any item of clothing. Okay. So 10 years ago, I was like really into like looking for, you know, hidden gems on Craigslist. Craigslist was still a thing 10 years ago. I don't think it's right now. And I found this beautiful armoire made of solid wood that was originally a Restoration Hardware armoire. I don't know if anybody's ever shopped at Restoration Hardware. It's ridiculously overpriced furniture, okay? And this $6,000 armoire was being sold on Craigslist for $350. And when I brought it home, Assam looked at it and said to me, "What do you possibly see in this armoire? Where is this? First of all, where is it going to go in our house? Because it was massive and we lived in a small house at the time. And number two, what it's beaten and bruised and knobs are falling off of it. And there was nothing there." But I said to him, are you sure you don't see it? Are you sure you can't see the beauty that lies beneath this incredible armoire?" And sometimes I believe that's how the Lord looks at us. There's this incredible thing that's beneath the very jagged surface. And I think that is truly the work of restoration. It took me many, many months to work on this thing. And now after years, it's back in a garage somewhere. I should probably go restore it. But it is the work of restoration, of bringing what was not the original design back into order in the way that God sees it.
Amen. Amen. So one of the things that we find in the restoration, that the first gate, the Bible mentioned that it's being restored. And I like it's not only being rebuilt or restored, it's rebuilt and الكلمة إيه كرسو يعني إيه قدسو
dedicated.
Is the gate of sheep, which is where all the sheep from everywhere to enter into the temple, which is the closest, actually, it's the closest gate to the temple, and where all the sheep comes from this gate to be offered as a sacrifice for sin or for peace or, you know, and it's not a coincidence that this is where you start. Salvation is the beginning. And here we can talk about the gate of sheep a little bit. In John 5:2, it says this. Michael, you're gonna like this. It says this. It was there was multitude of sick people waiting for physical. You know where Birket Hasda, the lake of Beth Hasda. That was the very close to the gate of sheep, and there was lake there, and people were waiting. It says multitude of sick people. I like this, multitude of sick people. I'm not gonna insult you guys, but you know what? If we are sick, if we are multitude of sick people, we have a chance here, because there was multitude of sick people and by the lake, and Jesus was going there, and he met this man had 38 years of not being able to walk, And he, Jesus said, what do you want me to do? I want to be well. Well, go carry your bed and walk. He was waiting for an angel for 38 years to move the water so he can jump into the pool and he get healed. And Jesus, from nowhere, Jesus, the good shepherd, is looking not only to save this man from his physical condition, but after arguing with the Pharisees, I think, how come you ask this man to carry his bed on Saturday? And he said, that's not only that. I'm going to tell you, go and sin no more. This man was waiting for physical healing by the lake. But he gets physical healing, not only that, but he gets go and sin no more. Means he got authority over sin here by the gate of sheep. So the gate of sheep is very significant. John 10:7 says that, then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. We're not talking about a gate that people use it just to go in and out. No, we're talking about a simple. We're talking about something talking about Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. We're not talking about a normal gate. We're talking about a gate that's speaking about Jesus, saying about himself that I am the door. How important this gate in our life, that we find salvation and find healing, find restoration by the gate of sheep. Assam?
It's just like what you said. This is the starting point. And a lot of times we want to move ahead to the other gates. The following gate, for example, is the gate of fish. And this is a symbol or a picture of evangelism, you know, becoming the fishermen of men. But you can't get to that gate without first being saved. Otherwise, then what are we really preaching or what are we really doing? But to get to that gate, I'm sorry, to go through that gate first, because as Philip said, it's the gate that leads to the temple. And here we see a beautiful picture of the servants, okay? I know it says there that the high priest and the priest, but in our language now, the servants, those who are serving the Lord, we see them working together. And as soon as they agreed with Nehemiah as soon as Nehemiah said, let us work and no longer be disgraced, and they said, yes, let's work. As soon as that happened, everyone is starting to work and everyone got there. And it started with those who are serving God, those who are called and those who are gifted, and God gave them a special talent or a special gift to serve or to do something. They're right the way, the beginning. That's where we start. We start with salvation. We start with that point of the sacrifice of the work that Jesus, you know, did on the cross for us. The road had to be prepared, and someone had to do it. The road had to be ready for people to come in again, for that road to be available, for the sheep to go in, for the sacrifices to be offered, for people to smell that sacrifice, for people to come before God and feel that their sins have been taken away from them. That has to be restored, you know. And in a world right now that doesn't really depend a lot on salvation, doesn't depend a lot on, you know, the work of Christ, but it depends on very much everything else, it's our job as believers to rebuild that gate, to rebuild that sheep gate, you know. And you know what it takes to rebuild that sheep gate? That servant, that high priest, you know, could have said, I'm the high priest. What are you talking about? Do you want me to rebuild and get into construction and do this and that? Oh, no. Right now, we're all serving God. Everyone had to take off the robe of who they are and put on the robe of building that gate. I'm speaking metaphorically, obviously. So every one of us as servants of the Lord need to take off whatever robe that we have right now, whatever robe that we think that holds some kind of value in our life, and put on the robe of building that wall. Because before that wall is built, there is nothing that will work. It's always the start for a reason. And we will see it also at the end. And also there is a reason for that. I'm going to go after. Also, there are a couple of things. Well, before we go on, why don't we just open it up and like hear from everyone on, you know, what they think about that. And then we can go on.
What do you think the significance of the gate of sheep, and why it's the first gate to be rebuilt? Is this a question that we can discuss? Yeah. Did I ask it right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's open.
I think one of the first passages that comes to mind is Isaiah's scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray. And so in order for there to be any kind of restoration, that has to be the first gate in place, because God wants to restore the relationship. And so he becomes the door for the sheep. So any sheep that recognizes that they're sheep, recognizes that they're lost, needs to come through this door. And that becomes a starting point of a restored relationship with God, a restored sense of identity, a restored purpose. And from there, we can then begin to move forward as far as ministry, as far as evangelism and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's very significant that this chapter one speaks about, it started with the gate of sheep and then started to rebuild. And verse 32, verse 32 goes back to the same gate. So after everything is done, it goes back to the gate of sheep again. Mentioning it twice, in the beginning and in the end. It's obviously, this is like a treasure is heading, you know. I am the beginning and the end. I am the door. I am the beginning. I'm the end. You know, Alpha and Omega. This is a treasure that was hidden for us to see how much, how important to have the gate of sheep, to have Jesus, to have the salvation of Jesus in our life, beginning and end. Not only that, when Jesus started his journey of the cross, the last gate, which when I found this out, I was like, hallelujah. That calls for a dance, you know, because when the last gate that Jesus used before the cross is the gate of sheep. Went from out from the gate of sheep, went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And there, you know what happened? The soldier came and they arrested him and they took him for questioning and so on and so on and so on. And then he went to the cross, you know? So it's significant that saying, for me, I got it like this. I understood it like this. When Jesus used the gate of sheep, the last thing in his life, earthly life, you know, saying no more animal sacrifice. You know, I am going to be the sacrifice now. Salvation will not happen through animal sacrifice. You don't need a lamb to come and offer it in the temple so you can be saved. I am the Lamb of God. I am going to offer myself. I am going out to Jerusalem now to offer myself a sacrifice to the Father so you can be saved, so you can be healed, so you can be restored, so you can be put into the original design. Hallelujah. I'm happy now. I'm speaking now, but I feel like God's speaking to me. I'm going to put you into the original design. When I think about original design, I think how fearfully and wonderfully I was made. And you too, by the way. You know, how fearfully and wonderfully. Say it and believe it. God wants to restore this, I don't know how to say it in English, fearfulness, wonderfulness to you. Because of your relationship with the gate, with the door, I am the door of salvation. Hallelujah. I don't know why you're not happy. I'm happy. I'm so happy. You know? Because here Jesus saying, I'm gonna restore. I'm gonna put back to the original design. I am the door of sheep. I want you to hear my voice. That's it. You know, it's so significant to study this and to dig deep to find this treasure in the Word of God. Amen.
Also, there is a fulfillment of the law. You know, if you read in Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Oh.
What Jesus did, this is truth. You know, this is truth that we whether we like it or not, it's truth that we all sinned, that we all strayed away, as we just said, and that shedding of blood was a must. And through this gate, through the salvation, through the forgiveness, through the sacrifice of Jesus, the law was fulfilled. You know, that truth, that death sentence that I had, that was taken away from me through salvation and through the sacrifice of Jesus. In John, let me read it. In John 1:29, when John, the other John, saw Jesus, what did he say? The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John saw him, recognized that this is it right there. He is the one that's going to take away the sin, the Lamb of God. That's what he called him, the Lamb of God that's going to be sacrificed to take away the sin of the world. So it is significant. The law was fulfilled because someone had to pay for our sins, and that someone was Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that's wonderful. In Isaiah 53, why don't you read it, Assam?
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
And this is when you look at Isaiah 53, you look at not only the salvation of your soul, it's a package of carrying my sin, my iniquities, my infirmities, my pain, my hurt, everything. He took it all to give us the whole thing, the whole restoration. Hallelujah. So I'm going from the gate of sheep to restore my sheep. I like that. You know, I'm leaving now Jerusalem from the gate of sheep to restore my sheep, to restore my people, my belongings. Hallelujah. And then in the same verse, which is, again, it's significant, and I feel like it's a treasure here. In the same verse, rebuilding the gate of sheep, but also rebuilding until the Tower of 100, which is, again, I'm going to ask question just to make us think. Where do you find in the Bible 100, the number 100? And is there any significance in it? 100. Come on. Huh? The number 100.
Where did he get that?
If anyone has 100 sheep and loses one, does he not leave the 99?
Okay. This is the first 100. Bravo. Where else? في حد تاني؟ Anyone else? I remembered another 100 actually, which is, I don't know how it starts, but it speaks about giving fruit 30s, 60, and 100. How did this go? اللي هي يعطي ثماره 30 و60 و100.
And they'll produce fruit, yeah, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold.
Yes, that's it. Okay. Who else? What 100? Another 100. There is a big, famous 100. For famous one, I'm making it easy for you. A person that is very famous in the Bible has a very famous 100. Come on. Huh?
Come on, Pastor Edwin, I see you.
Do you remember?
Abraham was 100.
Yay! This is very famous 100. Abraham was 100. And Abraham, again, is a wonderful story about restoration. How God, he restored his health, his wife, his health to give birth when she was 90 and he was 100. So why it is significant to mention the gate of sheep and the Tower of 100 in the same verse? Why do you think it's significant? No answer. Okay. So when you look at the Tower of 100, the Tower of 100, so Larry shared with us before the meeting that 100 is 250s, which is 50 is the Jubilee year, 50 is the day that you really, the year that you release all the slaves that you bought and so on and so on, so on, which is significant. But also, it's very significant that the Tower of Hananil, yeah, which means what, Asam? The word Hananil?
God has compassion.
God has compassion. Okay, get ready, because I'm going to get excited. You mentioned the gate of sheep, gate of salvation, with the Tower of 100, with the Tower of Hananil, or, you know, which means God has compassion, which remind me with a verse that God wants all to be saved. He doesn't want to lose anyone. He doesn't want to lose the one that Pastor Al, if I lose the one, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. The 100, the full compassion of how he wants to restore every thing. Everything. God has a compassion to restore everything that we have lost. God has compassion to save everyone. بكونه شديد القدرة لا يفقد منه أحد منه أحد حد يترجم للآية دي. No. كونه شديد القدرة because he is almighty. No one will be lost from him. No one. Because if I'm offering salvation, I'm offering salvation for everyone. And because he's almighty, he can save everyone that comes to him, to comes through the gate of sheep. It's so significant. It's so important. Amen?
Yeah,
awesome.
Sorry, someone was going to say something. I was going to say that there are these two towers that are close to the, you know, or by the by this gate. One that says God has compassion, and the other one, the one for the 100, and it reminds us, as we said, that if someone has 100, the shepherd who has 100 and one goes away, what is that shepherd going to do? As Pastor Albert just said, what is that shepherd going to do? He's going to go after that one lost sheep, right? He's not going to leave him. So I'm seeing two pillars here. I'm seeing that compassion of God, and I'm seeing the working hand of God. You know, the hand that God is extending to that lost sheep, the hand that God's extending to that lost soul. You know, it's not just God. You know, there was that man that was sick, and he said, Are you willing? God is able and God is willing. God has compassion and God is willing to take that journey, you know. And the hardest journey that Jesus took was the journey of the cross, which we're talking about right now in the gate of sheep. So here we are at the gate of sheep. We see God's compassion, and we also see a working God, an God in our salvation. He's not just standing behind and say, all right, they come. No, he is working. He wants to make that known to all of us. And then we see that the men of Jericho, this was the part that when I read this morning that really made me smile. The men of Jericho, let me read it. Building as far as the Tower of 100, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. Oh, this is verse 2. Should we go to verse 2? Or you want to be just here, verse 1, Philip?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
It says the men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. And the part that got me today, if you recall, when the Israelites were coming into Jericho, what happened to the residents of Jericho? They were terrified, right? That's what Rahab said. She said, we were terrified when we heard about you. But here we see God's grace in front of the sheep gate that has the Jewish high priest, you know, building, and right next to him, that Gentile from Jericho building as well. And that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God that was extended not just to the Jews, it was extended to the whole world, you know. And that's the same grace of God that's being extended to all of us today. That's the same God. The same grace of God that's going to reach, you know, the people that you think will never come back to Christ, or the people that you think that they are too far from Christ. The same grace of God that will be in front of that door or in front of that gate. And then, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. And his name means Zakur. What does that mean?
Remembering?
God will remember, or God remembers.
Yes.
There you go. It's very close to Arabic, so
yes.
God remembers his promises. God remembers his children. God remembers his the covenant he made with us. So these are my little comments. Let's open it up again.
Amen. Amen. Anyone has a comment about verse 1 or verse 2?
You know, it, not only does God remember, and as far as the Jericho thing, but Joshua also cursed and said, if anyone rebuilds these walls of Jericho, they are cursed. And it's amazing to me that here we see God taking those who belong to the curse, if you will, and those who are rebuilding here the wall and the doors, and they're working together. So you see the grace of God doing something and bringing people who shouldn't have been together, bringing them together, because we're all one. We're all one in Christ.
Amen. Amen. And for me, I feel like, okay, it's worth it to spend time and the right time, you know, to be prepared before you move into the next gate. The next, because the next gate is going to speak about fish, the fish gate. The fish gate, we know all, you know, about the simple of it, which is, you know, the all the fish that they had, they catch from either the sea or from the lake, they bring it through that gate of fish into Jerusalem. But the spiritual meaning of it, which is someone mentioned it, is that I will make you a fisher of man. So before you even think about being a fisher of man, you have to spend time and through, you have to go through the gate of sheep. You have to become sheep first before you become fisher of man, which is very important. Which, how can I do that? The compassion of God is 100. The compassion of God, it's there. It's there for us. You know, I know that sometimes I share my stories, but forgive me or not, brahatkum. It's, but I feel like, you know, I'm always, I feel like God is giving me chance to rebuild. I was doing ministry and so on, but I felt like I'm right now, I'm kind of lost, but God is rebuilding me. That the only thing that I feel like it's not, it will never, I will never lose it, is the salvation that I received from God. I could lose the ministry, you know, that I had. I could lose anything, but the salvation, the sheep gate, is the basic of our life. So don't think about even go to the fish gate before you spend time with God about your sheep gate. Amen? Which is one of the things that I think someone mentioned, David, when he's praying in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of salvation. You know, when he's speaking about, when he sinned and was Bathsheba, yeah? And he wrote this chapter, Psalm 51, saying, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Okay, I didn't lose the salvation. I lost the joy of my salvation. Restore this to me. I sinned. I'm confessing that I sinned. And I lost the joy. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Again. It's like saying, take me again to the gate of sheep. Make me sheep again. Amen? So I just want to encourage us as a church to search our heart and where are we from the gate of sheep? Amen? And this morning I was listening to a song. It's really powerful, speaking about take me into the beginning, take me again to the beginning, to my relationship with you. Where? Gate of sheep, salvation, redemption, rebuilding. Amen. Any comment, any question? Or shall we pray? Last chance. Yeah, let's pray together. And then we will just spend time fellowship together. Amen. Let's pray. Pastor Edwin, can you pray it for us, please?
Yes, I can do it. Yes, my Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for being who you are, Lord, in our lives, for being our provider, for being our teacher, the example that we have to follow. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for your amazing grace, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to keep opening our hearts to engrave the word that you're giving us every single day, to get it into our hearts and keep it there forever, Lord, and to share with others. Thank you for this fellowship, Lord, that you are giving us at this time, and raising up new people. Yes, Lord, and rebuilding what we have inside that is overseas, Lord, that you're going to rebuild in us. When I rebuild our spirit, our faith, and everything concerned only about you, Lord. So I really, 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 really thank you, Father, for giving us this chance, this opportunity to stay together and partake your word. And thank you for your faithfulness and for being who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you are opening our eyes to see the treasures of your word. I pray more and more, Lord, that you open our eyes to see how wonderful is your word, how is like honey into my mouth, my lips, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you feed us today and you continue feeding us with your word. I pray, Lord, for this week, for this coming week, from today until next Wednesday, I pray in the name of Jesus to prepare every heart, Lord, to hear your voice, hearing the call that Peter heard. Come follow me. Lord, I pray that we will hear, Lord, and prepare our heart to hear, I will make you a fisher of men. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you prepare our heart to winning, not only winning money, position, or power, but winning souls, winning for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus to prepare our heart during this week to give us your call, your voice, to hear your voice again. Follow me. In the name of Jesus, amen.